Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. If you have a Bible verse or a specific topic, a certain text in the Bible that you want to understand, send it to us. Send us an email. Go to our website, send us an email. And what are we going to do? We are going to research and teach it right here on this platform. This is our calling, and we pray that the Lord will continue to give us strength to do this. Today we are studying, and we'll be looking at Abraham, his wedding and calling. And so, hey, Rob, are you there?
I am.
All right. Can you please lead us in a word of prayer?
Absolutely. Our Heavenly and Gracious Father, I give you thanks for this Sunday that you have given us to rest and to study your word. Father, we just praise and magnify your name. You and only you are meant to be worshipped, loved, and adored by us, Father. You are the great creator who has breathed life into us. You've created us in your image, Father. And Lord, I give you thanks for this time where we can come together and study your word, Father, to dig in and to draw closer to you, Father, because only in you is there truth and is there love. Nothing else can take your place, Father. Lord, thank you so much for this time, and I just pray that your word goes out and touches all of those that are listening, Father. Both tonight and in the days to come. Father, we know that Scripture tells us that your word never returns void. You put this calling into our hearts, and we're just so grateful to have this opportunity to serve you, Father. Thank you so much. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and by his blood we are saved.
Amen. Thank you. It's really a blessing that we are back tonight. What we want to do here is we are studying Abraham. Last week we discussed Noah. Now, our focus tonight is Abraham, as I've said, and his wife Sarah. They are descendants of Shem, one of Noah's three sons, as we had studied last week. If you have not listened to the replay of last week's teaching, please go on our website. You view that on audio or video, whatever way you want to view it. But that's a great study, and we want you to join us. Okay, tonight we are focusing on who? Abraham. The point that I want to make here is that the new word of Noah fell into sin like the old world that was destroyed by the flood. See, sin is so terrible that whenever it's in you, it will fight to destroy your life. Now we learn from Adam to Noah, those that lived in between there were so wicked. And God himself brought flood and wiped away nearly everything with the exception of Noah's family and some species. Now, the eight persons that God saved, Noah's three children, began to spread. But then they went back to square one. The problem that they went back to square one by sinning against God. See, and the point that we want to listen to here tonight is Abraham's marriage was also cultural. In that while he was yet living in sin, he married to his half sister. See, and we had argued that His incestuous marriage is a result of the fall. And if you want to listen to that, go back to the videos. Go back to the video. We had the teaching there. You can go back to those videos and you will learn more about these. We can't discuss that right here. But God is so good to us. See, the word of Abraham days was a major, major, major issue. Now, the sin was so terrible, and God could not destroy the world anymore because he had made a covenant not to destroy the world anymore with flood. So God took another position. See? God took another position, and this is what we're going to study in this. And God called Abraham and his wife, and they received the grace of God. And I want to make this point clear. It was really the grace of God, because Abraham and his wife, they were not living any life for God. They were in a city that was so demonic. They had their own gods. They were doing their own thing. But God has spoken to Adam that he will bring him back to paradise. So in every generation, God will raise up somebody, and we're following a particular line from that family line to bring redemption. So this has been the issue. Now, what we're going to study in this, we have a lot to cover. We may not finish all tonight. We may continue next week because a lot of things to cover here. All right? Okay. In this study, you will discover as we end this study, you will discover the following. There is no difference between the old world that was destroyed by the flood and the new world of Noah in terms of wickedness. You're going to find that. Abraham got married with his wife, but there were a lot of wickedness. Those who got saved from the flood, the descendants of Noah, there was a lot of wickedness, and there's no difference between those who died in the flood and those who were living in a new world. I want you to get that point clear. God did not destroy the new world to this day because of the covenant he made to Noah and his sons after the flood. God said, I will not destroy the world anymore with a flood. And you can find that in Genesis 9, 8 to 15. And because of that covenant, God did something differently. See, you're going to discover that Abraham's wedding was cultural. So sometimes we all think too, you know, even today we think that every wedding is Christian because we went to church or because we did this, but most of the weddings are cultural. And when we get to those, we will be able to figure out point one by one. Now, you will also discover that Terah, Abraham's father, initially decided to go and live in Canaan. He took his family to go to Canaan, but while they were on their way, we do not know what happened. No record, Bible didn't tell us anything. Terah, the father of Abraham, decided to remain and settle in Haran. And there he was for many years. It was in that city God called Abraham from that city, and we're going to get to that later on as we go ahead. Okay, Abraham and Sarah used, that's one of the things that I want us to look at. Abraham and Sarah used wrong means to accomplish God's promise to them, and yet God was faithful in giving them Isaac. Now that's one of the key things. You know, sometimes we take wrong means. Okay, this is what I think the Lord want me to do, and you do something wrong to accomplish God's purpose. No, it's not so. Okay, Rob, you say you have something here to before we finish with these various points.
Yeah, this is an important part. I mean, we see Abram becomes the father of the Israelites and was blessed. But as you point out, he does repeatedly fail to trust in God for his provision and protection. You know, when he entered the land of Egypt, he was deceitful to Pharaoh, telling only a partial truth about his wife, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it came to trusting God and providing a son, he tried to accomplish these things in his own way.
Mm-hmm.
How often do we as a people do the same thing? You know, we try to do it in our flesh rather than in the spirit. You know,
right.
we may even seem to be bearing fruit for a time. But as I've learned in my gardening experience, you know, that fruit, if the tree or the vine is not healthy, it doesn't mature. It just dies quickly.
Okay.
And becomes rotten. You know, so too happens with our walk with God if we're not drawing close to Him.
Yeah.
It burns out very quickly. You know, the flesh is temporal. I heard a great analogy yesterday by Bill Myers where he said
mm-hmm.
about going things in the flesh. You know, we can fake it for a long time and it may look really good.
Right.
He said, you know, this. By ourselves and not relying on the Spirit of God and drawing from God to be our sustainer, then we ultimately are just burning ourselves up.
Right.
Instead of allowing the wick to pull the oil up, pulling it from God's endless fountain and drawing it up and burning that. So instead we burn ourselves and fall short. Well, this is what we see with Abram is he failed several times. And in Joshua 24:2, this is said. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time.
Uh-huh.
Even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. So God did this.
God did.
Not Abram, not anything. And we must remember that, you know, the covenant that God made with Abraham, there was nothing required on his part.
No.
But when it came time, when his faith was really tested, when it came to his son, in going out to in fulfilling what God asked him to do, he did it. He was faithful. He had the faith, and he succeeded, and he followed God's command. And that's what we should dwell on.
Right.
There'll be times when we falter, but God's there, and no matter what we do, he's going to love us no matter what. And his commandments are eternal, and his covenants cannot be broken. They require nothing from us.
Good, thank you. You nailed it, Rob, and this is true. Many people think that the word grace is a New Testament word, but grace started in the Garden of Eden. We can see it right there, and Rob, if God did everything for Abraham, many things that Abraham did, Even though he's of a father of faith, he believed in God, but there are a lot of things that he fell by the roadside. It's right there in the Bible. You can trace it. If you want to find out, get the Bible and read it for yourself. There are many things that were not too correct. But anyway, we'll learn some of those things in this study tonight. All right? So thank you, Rob. I love what you said. Okay. Now.
Thank you.
The study of Abraham's marriage, we will trace five or six different things. We will trace the background of Abraham's world, the world in which he lived. We will trace it because that background is important. It's not only the marriage alone, but the background from which he got married, we need to know. All right, we had to look at the family line of Abraham and Sarah. How they were connected to the line of Christ. We had to look at that very carefully. And then we're going to discuss about his wedding and his own hometown. Those things that happened in the town where they lived. We're going to study that. And it's important. whether there was a time where the people served God, they served idols, and how he got married, we're going to study all that. Now, then Abraham finally going to Haran to live there. I think I just touched on that in the introduction. Abraham from the background, call, and being the seed bearer. We're going to study all that. And we'll conclude by Abraham family in Canaan. And then within there, the things that happen in Canaan, they're very important. Now, what I want you to be so concerned about, let's take these points one by one. And as I said, we may not finish all tonight, but just bear with us as we discuss one point to another. Let's pick up the first point. Let's pick up the background of the world in which Abraham lived. Let's look at it. Now, when you look at chapter 10 of Genesis, it contains the list of the descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. These are the three sons of Noah. They were the ones that spread in other places in the New World, and they began to multiply. But something happened. In chapter 11, from verse 1 to 9, inform us how God settled this nation in the areas of their settlements. You'll find that. And during the third and the fourth generation after the flood, the earth population began to multiply. And what happened? There was a man by the name of Nimrod. And Nimrod was the grandson of Ham, who became a powerful leader. He was a mighty warrior and hunter. At the same time, he was the leader for the people. Now, this is what he did. This is what he did. He stopped the descendants of Noah from spreading as God had commanded. But he said, look, what we're going to do as your leader, we are going to build our own kingdom. Now, be careful now. We are going to do what? Build our own what? Kingdom. That was the problem. So, when you read, he was a real mighty man. Now, when you read Genesis 10:10, let me read that for you. It says, the five centers of his kingdom were, let's see, the five centers, that plural. That means he had many centers. The five centers of his kingdom were Babylon. You all know about Babylon in the Bible. Nimrod was the first center. Erech was the second center. Akkad was another great center. And Canaan was another great center. It was all in Shinar. That's where they moved. They disobeyed God, that they were not going anywhere. They were going to congregate in one area and do their own thing. So their leader went around and started building great cities. Now that's the background of Abraham, and that they all were doing this. His great grandfather, they were building good cities. In fact, the city of Nineveh was one of his centers. So here, Nimrod and the entire descendants of Noah have come together to disobey God, because when you look in Genesis chapter 1, God told Adam, you will multiply, you will populate the earth. But here is a group, and God told the same thing to Noah. But Noah's children are saying, no, we're not going to go according to what God is saying. We are going to do our own thing. We're going to be right here and make name for ourselves. That's what they said. Now, this was the situation in which the Noah's children found themselves. That was a real terrible situation that they were going through. But let's look at it. All right. At the same time, God revealed that whenever sin is going on within any city or within any family or within any particular ethnic group, God Almighty will always touch other people. That this is what I want done. But nobody going to listen to them. So at the same time, God revealed to Eber, if you have learned, study about him, Eber is spelled E-B-E-R, of the spiritual line of Shem. He was from the spiritual line of Shem. God revealed to him that, look, what I want is I want you to disperse, to cover the entire earth and not to congregate in one area. And because of that, nobody wanted to listen to this young man. He had a son. He named his son Peleg. And the meaning of that name is what? Division. He said, my son, your name is division, because God wants us to divide and spread. We cannot congregate in one area as our leader has suggested, and everyone is following him. The point that I want to raise here tonight is this. The enemy will always disobey God. When God said, go, the enemy said, you can't go, you need to come. So this is what we're going on. Noah got saved with 8 of his family members, 8 of them. Now God brought them out and God said, God covenanted to them, say, I'm not going to destroy the world anymore with flood. But go and spread all over the world. The founder refused. The descendant refused. They said, we're not going to do that. We are going to do what? Build our own kingdom. What are we going to do? They said they're going to build their own kingdom. 3 times the scripture speak of the divine division. Scripture spoke about it. When you look in Genesis, you look in Deuteronomy, you look in Acts 17, scripture spoke about that. God said, I want you to spread your disperse all over the earth. You cannot be in one place. But the leader, Nimrod, who was a mighty hero, a mighty hunter, who led the children of Noah, said, no, we are building our own kingdom here on earth. So, they said, they rebelled against God. I want you to look at Genesis 11. From 1 to 4, he said, we can't do it. In defiance of God's will, he refused to do it. Under that leadership, they went eastward and began to build their own cities, as we had already discussed, you know, and they were doing their own thing. Now, what can God do? What is going on? When the nation came together, they were doing their own thing. They never wanted to obey God. You know, the problem here is that, man, we want to make name for ourselves. That's the key thing. And when you read the text, Genesis 11, from 1 to 9, and you will find out, let's do this. Let us build our own cities so that we will build a tower that will reach into heaven, and we're going to make name for ourselves and not for God, so that the whole world will know that God in heaven will know that we have power. We can do whatever we want to do. Man fighting against God is not new. It's not new. So Noah's children who got saved from the flood, instead of being good evangelists, they turned out against God. So this is the problem. They turned out against God. Now, I think the problem they had was the problem of pride, rebellion, and self-sufficiency. I'm going to do the thing myself. And when you look at what Nero and the children of Noah they're doing right now, we can see it in our society today. In our society today, nobody need anybody. Nobody need anybody. I can do this myself. Even when you listen to some political speeches in this country and around the world, God's name would not be mentioned. They would say, I can do it. I'm able to do it. I will do this. No, this is the problem. Man wants to be in control. And that is why. That is the result of S-I-N, sin. When sin is in your life, you will not want to obey God. You want to always do your own thing. So we are looking at the word of Abraham, where the world in which we live and got married. That is the world we're looking at. So you just bear with me and follow me. Now, Babylon became, when he built the city of Babylon, it became the beginning of Nero's kingdom. Then the second, it became the political center. Now, that center was merely to rebel against God. And that the kingdoms, Babylon, and all the great kingdoms, these were the centers of what? False religious systems. Babylon, they had their own gods. Everywhere these kingdoms were, they were not worshiping the God of heaven, but they had their own gods. Even to this day, it happened. So, what do we say? Now, Genesis chapter 11 tells us that God stopped the building of their dream of a tower by dividing their language. I'm giving you the word in which Abraham lived and got married. And it's important because after the flood, things did not get better. This is the point I want you to grasp. After the flood and Noah's children began to populate the earth, things did not get better. It went worse. They came together and began to make name for themselves and not for God. So this man got his son. He said, your name is Peleg. Because God said, my people should go all over the world. They should divide themselves to go all over the world. And the leader said, man, you better get out of here. Let you and your son sit down over there, but we are building our own kingdoms. But this is what God did. You know, God did something. God could have brought back the flood to wipe everything, but because he had covenanted with Noah not to do it. So what he did, when you read Genesis chapter 11 from verse 1, God came down and what? And just divided their language. So when they were building this great tower and they were rejoicing, oh, we're making name for ourselves. We are doing something great. God said, okay. God came in there and touched. Now, can you imagine that you and myself here and I'm speaking English, right? Huh? I'm speaking English. But suppose I say, you're not going to follow me. You will shut down your computer right now because you're not understanding me. You see? So as people began to speak the same language, they came together and they took their own aside of where they wanted to go and live because I can't understand John Brown, so he and myself can't live together. The other one speaking different language and you can't understand. And you go in one. God knows exactly how to divide people. All right. So when the one I did, John, I know you almost just got out of the phone and said, but what a man, I can't understand what you're talking. But I'm trying to tell you the example of what happened. When God divided their language, people went, those who could understand one another, they spread all over the world the things that God wanted to accomplish. God knows how to accomplish his purpose. He knows how to do it. See? So if you cannot understand my language, it would be very difficult. We have to understand one another. So God said, well, if these people continue to speak one language, whatever they want to do, they're going to do it. So let me divide the languages so that they will spread all over the world, and those who understand one another, they can become what they want to be. So it came from God, and God stopped the building of their great cities. Now, this background is very rich, and I want you to pay keen attention. Noah, I mean, Abraham's father is Terah. Now, Terah descended from the line of Shem, the son of Noah. Terah and his three sons, Terah had three sons, Abram, which is Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Now, with a daughter, and the daughter is Sarah. So, Terah has four children, three sons, one daughter. They lived in Ur of the Chaldeans. That was their hometown. There was a very wicked city with multiple gods. Now this is the point I want you to understand the background of Noah's world. The city in which they were living, in fact, the whole human race at the time that spread wickedness took control. They were doing their own thing, like the old world that the flood destroyed. No difference. There's no difference at all. But God got a way of working with us even when we blunder up, even when we are in the wrong and we begin to cry around. God knows exactly how to work with us. He had promised in the Garden of Eden that he would bring us back to paradise. And so in every generation, he will find a way to work through the line that he established in the Garden of Eden. The first one he came to was Adam. The second was Seth. Then the third, Noah. The fourth is Shem. Now he came to what? Not to Terah, but to Abraham. This is a line that we follow. And Abraham's lesson is a very unique lesson, you know, and I love it. Now, let's look at the background of Abraham and Sarah. Let's look at they are from the family line of Shem. And who was Shem? Shem was the son of Noah. And he's the line of Christ. But does that mean that this man was living a holy life? Now it's not yet time for questions and answer. But if you want to hit your computer and send in a chat to say yes or no, you can do that. All right. But let me tell you now, he was not living a holy life. It's a matter of God's choice to work through somebody. So God decided to work through the line of Shem, not that he was living a holy life. God did not choose Abraham because he was holy. He was demon-possessed. But God selected him because it was God's choice to reach the world. And I want you to know too, God did not call me because I was living a holy life or you. We had something that we were doing. We were living our own lives as Christians. I mean, once you are a Christian, you know that you've been somewhere. You were doing that and God appeared to you and said, come unto me. I will give you rest. So it's a scene with Abraham. The line he came from, not that the line was holy, but God is the one working out things for you and myself to go back to heaven. It is the grace of God from the Garden of Eden up to the cross. That's why we're studying tonight. Now, from Shem to Abraham, that's 10 generations. See, their names here, Shem and Arphad and Salad and Eber, Peleg, Ruth, Sirah, Nahor, then Terah, and then Abraham, the 10th. All right. God used this line, not because they were holy, and I want you to grasp this key idea, but because God, his redemption that he promised, he had to use someone. And so he selected a line through which he will redeem the world. And this is the point. All right. Now, Shem lived through more than 400 years. He lived more than 400 years. All right. Now, we said Terah got their son. We gave them the name already. You know about them. And then here is an issue. Abraham, Terah had three sons, right? We said Haran, Nahor and Abraham and one daughter, Sarah. But then Abraham married to Sarah. So here, when you listen to our previous study, then you will know why this was done. The fall brought about incest. And after the fall, the incestuous marriage continued. So there was no change at all in human history. There was no change at all. And so we see it here. So he married to his brother from one father, but not from the same mother. But that's not even the point. So I love it. We can just see it right here. We have Terah here. If you have a computer, you will see it. And then we have Sarah here. We have Abram, which is Abraham. We have Nahor, and we have Haran. These are the four children that Abraham had. Hagar was the Egyptian girl that was the servant of Sarah. But anyway, we'll get to that later on. But this is the whole diagram of the family tree of Terah. The point that we're trying to make here is this. Is the word of Abraham after the flood, things did not get better. It got worse. This is the point that I want you to get. So the background of Abraham was not better at all. Now, Abraham married. Now, when we say Abram, when his father born him, the father gave him the name Abram, which means father is exalted. Oh, yeah. He will exalt his father. That was the name that was given to him. But when God called him, God changed the name from Abram to Abraham. And Abraham means father of many nations. All right. Then we come to Sarah, which is spelled S-A-R-A-I. It means princess or queen. All right, that was the name the father Terah gave for daughter. You are princess or you are queen. But when God called the husband to ministry, God changed her name from being queen or princess to mother of many nations. So now guess what? Where are we going? Can you guess that? Yeah, I know it's not yet time for but guess where we're going? This is a reenactment of what happened in the Garden of Eden. We have Adam, then we have who? We have Eve. Then when we came to Noah, we have Noah, and then we got the wife, that name that is unknown. I hope you listen to that video about his wife, because there are a lot of suggestions there about the name of that woman. And there are a lot of discussion that we did in there. Please listen to it. So God is now, instead of destroying the whole world, taking a marriage couple, changing their name to represent him, to go as the first missionary to reach the world. That's what I said in my book here. In this book, if you have not read it, you will get a copy. In this book, I had a chapter devoted to that, and I said Abraham was the very first missionaries. I know many people disagree with me, but God sent him to reach the world. He may not be missionary like what we think today, raising his support here and there, but God said, go to Canaan, reach the people, let the people know that I am God. Was he not on a mission? I believe he was on a mission. That was his calling. That was his challenge. All right. Should I get back there? Now, the city in which they live, it was so many gods. Zacharat and the different towers. So, of the Chaldeans was a terrible city. And that was the hometown of Abraham, his father, his wife, his uncles. They lived in that town. There was no worship of God there. And the reason I'm making this point strongly is for us to see the grace of God in all that we do. Because he can come and you and you can be doing a mess and God can call you out of it. And I want to make a point here that I know is you can find it on the internet. There was a man in Liberia who was one of the major fighters. He's a fight. He has 7 men behind him dancing, and he would be naked. He would go and fight and kill a lot of people. But that man was fighting with completely naked with his 7 men with a little knife in his hand. He was fighting, and God spoke to him, "Put down your knife and follow me." Now, if you want to find out about that, go on the internet and Google that. All right, this young man put down his knife. Today, he's one of the evangelists in Africa. Was he from a good background? No, but God's grace decided to just pick it, and we get to find out that his father was one of the Assembly of God founding pastors, and the devil took his son. But God brought the young man back after he had killed, from his own testimony, 20,000 people. What am I saying here? What I'm saying here is for you to know that God's grace, he can take you from anything and make you out of something. This is the point with Abraham. So when now Abraham, in their town, the chief deity they had in their town, they call it Nana, which means sin. Imagine. Or the moon god. That was a god they worship in their town. Are you connecting with something in their town? That was the kind of god they were worshiping. It was a city of Abraham that married. Abraham married his wife in that city. See? He married his wife in that city. But the point here is, there is no record to show us how the whole wedding was performed. So, we got no record. The only thing we learned is that Abraham got married to his to his sister, by father. That's all we know. But we got no record like how we got record of Adam. Adam, God did everything. God did everything. It was not Adam himself. In this, with Cain, Lamech, Noah, we do not know how they were done. Then to Abraham, how their wedding was done, we have no record. But what we know, Abraham was married to his half-sister, and her name is Sarah, and God called them. Now, the Bible records that Sarah was barren. That's a key point in Genesis 11:30. This is a key point. And we may not be able to. Okay, let me just do this part, and we'll stop for the night. Because there are a lot of things here that we can say we may not be able to finish it. Okay, now, it was at this time God began to work miracle. Now, let me stress something here. And one thing I like about study and think, you discover a lot of things. Abraham's father was in Ur. That was their hometown. They had their own gods. They had everything that they were doing. But the father decided to leave that city to go to Canaan. What got in his mind, we got no record. The father, Terah, said, "I'm going to leave my family from here and we'll go to Canaan." So he took Abraham. He took Abraham's wife, her daughter, and all the family members that belonged to old man Terah, he took them, and they started going to where? To Canaan. But here's the problem. They got to a town called Haran. And when they got there, they settled in that town. What made them to settle in the town? We had no record of it. But we're gonna close here tonight. This is a great biblical account. The father has some inclination that I can't live in this town, even though this is my born town. But I'm gonna leave from here to go to Canaan. And he took his family, but while they left, instead of going to Canaan, he decided to start to Haran, and he lived there for many years and died. We do not know how long Abraham and his father lived in that place. But here what we know when you read Genesis 12:5, it says, in that city, Abraham gained servants and possessions. That means he was in that city and got rich before God called him. Now, sometimes we get it confused a little bit. Many of us, but anyway, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But they got in that city and lived there for many years. Watching Terah, the father of mine, not to go to Canaan, we don't know. We do not know. No record of it. Then, after he died, that's when God spoke to Abraham to leave and go to Canaan. Now, I just want you to get the two points together. The father decided to leave his hometown to go to Canaan. He left with his family, but did not reach. He went to a town where he set up and lived for many years. Abraham, they lived there for many years. We don't know how long he got so rich in that town. But when the father died, then the voice of God came to Abraham, go to Canaan. So next week, we are going to follow that. What we follow tonight is that we look at a background in which Abraham took a wife. It was not a good background at all. But what we find in there, we find the grace of God. This is the point. We see in the grace of God in everything concerning God. In any messy area, God will do something good out of it. In any fallen area, God will do something good. It is all because of what? His what? His grace. All right. Now, tonight, if any of you have a comment or you have question to ask, I'm going to unmute everybody. We're not going to finish yet tonight. We'll finish the next week. But if you have a question, let me unmute somebody. But if your background is noisy, please, you can mute yourself, because we don't want if it is okay. Let me unmute everybody. And if you have anything you want to contribute, any comment you want to make, you're welcome to do it. Any question you want to ask, you're welcome to ask it. It's not time. Oh, that's a problem. Somebody background is not too correct. All right. Any question? Any comment? Okay. Well, if there's no question, no comment, thank you. But what I want you to do, if you like this, now for those of you that will be viewing this, the replay on YouTube or whatever you find it, there's one thing we want you to do first, okay? Please leave a comment. All right, there's a little button right down there. There's thumb up and thumb down. You go there and hit whatever you want to hit. You want to hit down, hit it. You want to hit up, hit it. Okay, just leave us comment about what we are doing. It will help our ministry, and it will help us to move forward. So please, when you watch this video or you listen to the audio, leave us a comment. All right, you can like us or you can dislike us. No problem. Whatever you do, it's left with you. You feel free to do it. All right. Hey, Rob, are you there? Do you have a concluding remark?
Just a follow-on thought to what you were saying about Nimrod.
Yeah.
When we read this at the surface, it looks like it's, from a cultural perspective, it sounds like, oh, Nimrod, he's a mighty man, and it sounds interesting.
Right.
Well, when you go back and you look at this, Genesis 1:28 told man, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth.
Uh-huh.
Go out. And again, this was repeated to Noah in Genesis 8:17 to replenish the earth, to fill the earth. Well, here we have Nimrod, who extra-biblical tradition accounts as being the founder of the Tower of Babel.
Uh-huh.
And we see in Genesis 10, verses 8 through 10, and Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, where it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. You know, so we see he's referred to here by Scripture three times as mighty. Well, cultural tradition teaches us, oh, mighty is a good thing. Might is right. Warrior is good. Hunter is good. Bravery is good. Strength is good. But when we actually dig into this, it's not good. The name Nimrod is derived from the word marad, which means rebel. Then now they're adding an extra character to it, which implies rebellion.
You're right.
You know, valiant or rebellion. Well, here he's a mighty rebeller, a mighty warrior, basically against God. You know, God sees him, but he is reflecting the character of the time. It's anger and it's battle against God.
Right.
They're rebelling against him, and he's at the head of this, at the forefront. So when we look at these things, we really need to look at what's going on and really what's being said, and be careful what we accept. And so this was the environment that Abram was in as well. And then that God then reached out and pulled him out of it.
Right.
And it just goes to how amazing God is. His love just continues to reach beyond all of this.
Yeah.
And so much care for us. We're so blessed.
That's true. That's true. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. I mean, you got it. And that's true. He was mighty in a sense with the human, with the culture fighting against God.
Exactly.
That's what was going on. But not mighty for God. So the end of his whole might was to scatter. Where he never wanted to go, he went there anyway. When God said, I'm going to do it, you will still do it anyway. If he wants you to do it. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Come back next week. We'll finish up Abraham next week. Bring somebody. And thank you. Hey, Rob, can you close out in prayer?
Absolutely. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this study, for opening our eyes to your truth, dispelling any false teachings, anything that is not of you, Father, but instead drawing us closer to you. And into your love, for you are the one true God that we love, adore, and worship, Father. And there cannot be life apart from you, Father, and we just want to dwell in your presence and seek to serve you. Thank you so much for this time and everybody that is here and listening. Lord, we know that your word does not return void and that you're stirring in all of our hearts and in our minds. Thank you again. In your son's precious name we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Come back next week, everybody. Join us next week. We continue Abraham. Abraham, great God. Don't forget, all that we see in the whole thing is the grace of God. Not Abraham, but God doing his work. Thank you for joining us tonight. Next week, we see you. God bless you. Bye-bye, everybody.